their fingers through the rings of Saturn. And they're like, huh? Can we do that? I don't know. He says no mind has conceived. And if I can conceive that, it's beyond even that. There are great things in store for us. But there are great things in store for us in this life as well. And that's what I want us to understand. No life is a trash or a tragedy. Every life is a destination unto God and glory, if we will choose it. We're in Book of Psalms, chapter 107. Book of Psalms, chapter 107. And I'm going to begin in the first verse. Now, I'm going to ask all of you to put something in that page, because we're also going to then be going over to the book of Mark, and we're going to be coming back. We're going to be flip-flopping today, because remember, the Old Testament is God's love letter to the church, and God's New Testament is how we find how the old letter all fits together. The New Testament is the commentary on the Old Testament, because they speak to one another. Because throughout the Old Testament, Jesus is prophesied. And in the New Testament, he is here. Can I get an amen? From the first verse, first and second verses of Psalm 107, we read these words. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary. Oh, I love how that opens up, because what that speaks to is each and every one of us. How can we know of God's love unless we have been at a place where we have been apart from him? That speaks a truth to each and every one of us. And I think it's funny, because there are those who are in Christ who say, yeah, but I never knew adversity because I grew up in the church. And, you know, I don't have one of those stellar testimonies where I've been delivered from drugs. And I don't have one of those stellar testimonies where God has healed me from cancer or whatever it may be that, you know, everybody flaunts and says, oh, looky what God can do. Well, the reality is God saved each and every one of us from death. Can I get an amen? Because we are born into sin. We are born sinners. We are born with a sin nature. You cannot escape that. Thank you, Adam and Eve. The adversary lied all the way back there, and it has paved the road that every human being since has walked on, because genetically it changed us, because we cast out our inheritance. We gave away that which was the gift of God, our right to be the heir of the kingdom. And in doing so, we changed the course of our world, and we brought curse into this world. And death was that curse. And I think about this because all of us have been redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. How many of you have a testimony? How many of you can say, Jesus Christ saved me from sin? Every one of us here has to be able to say that, because that's the truth of who he is. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. How many of us are out there in the world telling other people about our redemption? How many of us are literally proclaiming this psalm, let the redeemed of the Lord say so? We'll walk up to somebody and we'll say, hi, how are you doing? And then we start talking about the weather. Well, whether you know it or not, that's going to come and you can't change anything about it. Okay? That's the only weather you need to worry about. Whether you're going to talk about God or whether you're going to talk about something else. There's only one discussion here. If we're going to talk about the weather, it's not about the climate outside. It's whether you're going to talk about God or whether you're not. Are the redeemed of the Lord going to say so? I hope so. Because we have been set free from an adversary. And God wants the world to know it. That's how he has chosen to move his gospel. I want you to think about it. How many of you right now know somebody in your life? How many of you right now know somebody in your life, or you yourself are going through a situation where you feel less than adequate to be able to do anything about it? I'm going to tell you right now, we know there is a Redeemer. We know there is a Restorer. We know that He has a way that is above every way. He has a highway, a highway of life, and He can take us from that low road and set us on that high road that each of us may know and see His goodness. How do I know that? Because of who He is. It's so amazing to me. We get so far away from God that we don't even understand that there's a way back. Well, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, look at verse 3 here. Look at verse 3 here in the book of Psalms. It says, "And He gathered from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south." Now, I think this is kind of neat because He doesn't say anything about race here, does He? He doesn't say anything about color here, does He? He calls on the four points of the compass, north, south, east, and west. So He's not looking at race because God sees one race. It's called humanity. He created humanity. He does not see color because we all come from two parents, Adam and Eve. Every one of us comes from that first coupling. So when we look back, we have to say to ourselves, we are one family, and there is one God. And He puts Himself where? I want you to look at this. Think about this logically. He says this, "And He gathers from the land, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south." If He's gathering from the east and the west and the north and the south, where is God? In the center. We have gone astray. We have moved out from Him. We are off the target. We are so far out there that we don't even know the way back. We don't know whether we're at the north or the south or the east or the west because we can't see the center, which gives us direction. It's so amazing when you think about the Scriptures and what God says and the depth of who God is. When you look at these Scriptures, we read them and we see, oh, okay, yeah, He's going to gather all peoples from all over the place. No, He's talking about how far away we've gotten from Him. And the fact that if He is not our center, we have no idea where we are. Can I prove that? Look at the next verse. Verse 4. "They wandered in the wilderness in a desert region. They did not find a way to an inhabited city. They were hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them." I want you to think about that. Here this person is. How many of you right now are around people all the time, but you see that those people have no direction? They have no purpose. They have no connectivity because they themselves have become an island. We become an island. We become peoples unto ourselves. Satan wants us to have our heads down and our thumbs on that stupid little tablet, because in that, you are in your own self. We have no idea where we are because we're looking for connection and there's people all around us. One of the things I find most amazing is Lynn and I don't go out to eat very often because I'm too cheap. Besides which, I like the way she cooks. Got to get my kudos in where I can. But when we do go out, one of the things that amazes me is you'll have a couple sitting there at a nice restaurant. They're out by themselves, no kids, but they're both sitting there, not talking to each other, not talking to anybody else around them. I'm having a conversation. Oh, I'm talking with 50 people. No, you're not. No, you're not. You are so disconnected. Is it any wonder that you're sitting here doing this? Because you have not connected. You are looking for a land. You are looking for an inhabited city, and you can't find it because you yourself are not connected. We are all out there in this desert, in this wilderness, and Satan wants us to be alone. He wants us to be thirsty. He wants us to be hungry. And we think that we're satisfying that hunger. You know, there's a commercial out there. It used to be. I haven't watched TV in 3 years now. There used to be a commercial out there where this young lady was telling her parents via text that they need to get a life. She has over 500 friends. What are you guys doing this weekend? And the whole time, it's a split-screen commercial, if you remember it. Mom and dad are on a bike, and they're biking with a couple. Then they're on a canoe and they're canoeing with another couple. They're out there engaging life. They're out there engaging God. And here's this young lady sitting in her house. The lights are out. There's a cat in the background. And she's texting mom and dad. I've got over 500 friends. You know, I'm connected all over the place. How, you know, you people need to get some real friends. It's like, oh my gosh. She thinks she's feeding her soul when all she is doing is starving to death. You need connectivity. All of us need to understand that God wants us to be connected. He wants us to be connected first and foremost to Him. And when we get connected to Him and He is our center, we can literally open our eyes and begin to see people. You know, I think of the blind man when he saw the people for the first time. Jesus took spit and put some mud with it and rubbed it on the guy's eyes. And he started to be able to see. And he said, can you see? He says, well, I see what look like trees. How did the blind man know what trees looked like? Because he had felt them. And he knew they were these tall things. And they were solid. And that was really all he could see was these tall things and solid. So Jesus takes some more spit and some more mud and wipes them on there again. And now all of a sudden he can see. That's the way it is for us. When we begin coming to God, we begin to start to be able to see something. And the closer we get to God, the more we get on center, the more we can see. Until finally there's a picture and it now makes sense. And we hunger and we thirst no more, for we have found that which truly satisfies. I'm thinking about all these people out there right now who are stuck on drugs and alcohol, who are looking for love in all the wrong places. They are so far off center. They are in a dry land, and they are hungering and thirsting, and they don't even know what for. How many of you have gotten up and you know, you were in the living room watching a movie, you know, whatever you were doing, and you walk out and you open the refrigerator. And you just stand there like, what do I want? What do I want? So you close the refrigerator and you go open up the goodie cabinet. And you look, what do I want? What do I want? The larder is full. The refrigerator, you couldn't put another thing in it. The goodie pantry, when you open it up, three bags of stuff fall out. And yet you can't find what you're hungry for. Am I the only one who does this stuff? That's life. That's a picture of life. God has an abundant store, but we are blind. We can't see the goodness of the Lord without the Holy Spirit. And the world lies to us and says, worthless, worthless, sluggard, lazy, you know, whatever. I mean, I can remember. And folks, sometimes it comes from the very people that love us. I'm not cutting on my dad, all right? I love my dad. God gives us parents. They're the best parents we'll ever have. But sometimes we have to remember they're the best bad example that'll keep us safe. And I can remember being 5 years old. I can remember being 7 years old and my dad telling me, you're a pain in my... You always give me problems. You're worthless. You're stupid. And I heard those things for so long that I started to become them. And that's what happens in our world. We're told we're worthless. We're told that we have no value. And it may not be spoken to you directly, but the way people act around you. Am I making sense? And God hung on a tree and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We need to remember there's only one person that we need to look to find who we are. And that is Jesus Christ, God the Father and the Holy Spirit, our triune God, three in one. And he says from all eternity, from everything he created, we are his prized possession. We are in Christ Jesus, his masterpiece. Because you see, so many pastors are out there telling the world that we are created in the image of God. You know, I've taught you differently, haven't I? We are not created in the image of God. And you folks out there on the internet, check it out. Look in the book, because that's where it is. And you will find it in Genesis 5 and 3, where it says, and Adam had other sons and daughters in his own image. Because Adam was no longer the image of God, for sin had entered into his life, and he procreated sin, and sin was procreating sin, and sin was procreating sin, and it got larger and larger and larger until it is where it is today, and we have disease and sickness and death in our bodies that we live with at all times. But we have a Redeemer, we have a Restorer who brings us back to the place where we can reclaim the image of God through Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. For when we are born again, born of the Spirit of God, we are full and whole and wholly His. Mitch is up here. Oh my goodness, back up, back up. Because that's the reality. We can reclaim our inheritance. We can find that direction because God says we are worthy. It does not matter where the world has put you. What matters is what direction God is pulling you. Turn in your Bibles, if you would. Keep a finger there. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Mark. To the book of Mark. We're going to be in chapter 10. I got to let that in there because if I pull that out of there, I'll never get back to where I need to be. We're in the chapter 10, book of Mark. And this is a continuation of what we just read. But because again, as I said, the Old Testament gives us this truth, this wonderful truth. And then in the New Testament, it's lived out before us where we see this stuff happening. In verse 46, chapter 10 of the book of Mark, in verse 46, through 48a, we read these words. It says, then they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples, in a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. When he heard it was Jesus, the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many were sternly telling him to be quiet. Isn't that what we were just talking about? Here's this one. He's out there. He has no idea where he is. He can't see. He's blind. He's in a crowd, yet he's alone. He's an outcast. And he begins to cry out. And even in his crying out, what do they tell him? Shut up. How many of us, that's what the world's telling us. Shut up. You're wrong. You're worthless. Just know your place and stay there. Well, guess what? From all of creation, I'll say that again, from all of creation, each and every human being that has been born into this world was born for the reality of worshiping and loving our God, our Savior, and our Redeemer. Can I get an amen? That is our purpose. That is why we exist. God wants us to know Him. He has told us that we are worth it. We're not worthy, but we're not worthless. Thank you, Miss Gloria. You see, the Holy Spirit's in the house. He can preach the sermon right through each and every one of you. You know it. So let's be it. We need to understand, here's this one. Here is me. Here is you in our daily walk. How many times in your daily walk does somebody come at you with negative stuff? And they want you to wear it. Oh, this is amazing, because this story, it's so cool when we get a little bit later, because that just so fits. They want us to wear their stuff. Rather than them wearing it, they want to place it on us. I'm having a bad day, so guess what? You're going to have a bad day. Ain't never been there, right? I ain't never done that to anybody. I've never done that to a soul. We're in church, people, and you're lying. God knows the heart. And we all know it's happened to us as well. Amen. And so here this man is. What's his hope? Where can he turn? The world's telling him to shut up. But Jesus is right here. Shut up. Keep silent. But Jesus is here. Shut up. What's God got to say? Flip back to Psalms. Verse 6. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them out of their distress. So many times, we've got to get to the bottom before we're willing to look up. How many times in your life, how many times in my life, where we'll be going about things, things are going to come into our lives, things are happening in our lives, and we'll say, well, can you pray for me? It's like, why didn't you start there? What's that the last thing you're doing for? I praise God that it's at least something you're doing, but it needs to be the place we start in all things. God is what? The beginning and the end. We need to remember not to jump into the middle, but to look at it from the beginning, because the beginning is the end, and He is Christ Jesus, and He has everything else wrapped up in Him. Now, if we start with ourselves, now we're stuck in something. And unfortunately, that's what the world has taught us, that it's all about you. You can do this. How many self-help books have been created? Do you know that there is one self-help book? There's only one. There's only one. And many of you are holding it right now. There's only one. And guess what? This book says, give your life to Him. It doesn't say you can be all that you want to be just by you doing it. It says if you want all this, you have to give your life to Him. If you give your life to Him, guess what He gives you? Now, I think this is so amazing. Okay? Who are we? We're dust. We know that. We were created from dust, right? And then our parents took that dust and stretched it and made more dust. And then more dust and more dust. The dust is getting pretty thin. But God says, you who are dust, if you will give yourself to me, give yourself to me, I will give you all of me. Who gets the better bargain in that? Yeah, we do. How do I know that to be true? Huh. Flip in your book to the book of Mark. From verse 48b, it says, but he kept crying out all the more. We cannot stop. When we know we are at the end, you know, this is so funny, and you've heard me say this before. When you're at the end of the rope, don't just hang on, let go. Because that's when you're going to meet God. When you're finally willing to let go and let God, guess who's going to be there to catch you when you're falling? It's so amazing. I can remember the cartoon. You've all heard me talk about this before. This guy's holding this rope. He's at the end of the rope. You see on the cartoon, the rope end is there, and his feet are at the very bottom. He's clenching as hard as he can, and he's screaming, help! And in the next cartoon, the next caption is a guy standing right next to him, and he just says, let go. He's 6 inches off the ground. That's where God is. He's that close. So keep hollering. Keep calling out, because he says, when you search for me with all your heart, I'll never notice you. When you search for me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. Jeremiah 29:11. You all know it's part of my life verse. For I have plans to prosper you and not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future. That's the God I know. That's the God of our universe. That's the God of our future. That's the God of today, tomorrow, and yesterday. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And no life is trash in his hands. But he says this. But he kept crying out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him here. So they called the blind man, saying to him, take courage, stand up, he is calling for you. Isn't that amazing? The people who were just telling him to shut up now are saying, all right, get up. And what he does next is so amazing. This is a blind man. This is a blind man. Scripture is very clear. Please let us remember, when God puts something in here, it's in here for a purpose. Verse 50. It says, throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. Do you know how important that verse is? Did this blind man have a chance of finding that cloak once he was done with Jesus? He was in a crowd of people. There was a large crowd of people. He was being bumped into, and I mean, he can't see, so he doesn't know what's left, what's right, what's up, what's down, and he throws his cloak. How's he going to find it? He's blind. The very thing he possessed. The very thing that gave him comfort, the thing that covered him, okay? He threw it aside. All the things that these people were saying to you, all the things that society has labeled you with, throw it aside. Don't hang on to it. Let it go. It has no place in you. This world has placed it upon you. Others have given it to you. Let it go. Because when we come to him with nothing, he gives us everything. We need to remember that God can take our nothing and turn it into eternity. He can turn it into glory. He can turn it into every blessing that is beyond blessing. Because I hate to tell you this, when we leave this world, you ain't taking nothing with you. Think about it. Have you ever seen a U-Haul behind a hearse? And you won't. But praise God, he says, I'm going to deliver you. Back to Psalms. From verse 7. And he led them also by a straight way to go to an inhabited city. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. For he has satisfied the thirsty soul, and the hungry soul he has filled with what is good. Brothers and sisters, when you and I have our eyes finally open, when we are finally given that direction, how many of you have a GPS in your car? On your phone, okay? I call mine Jack, and when he gets things wrong, I just say to him, you don't know Jack. And off we go. I mean, Wayne's driven with me, Bobby's driven with me. And because, you know, that's just where I am. Those things will get you lost as much as they'll help you. Can you say amen to that? Amen. You need to update your maps every now and then. But we look for direction. And now that we have GPSs, us men are, we're real men now. I don't have to stop at the rest area and ask for directions. I just plug it in and we go. Yeah. The reality is we do need direction, don't we? But praise God, he says he will make straight our paths. And he will bring us on to that way. That's what we just read, isn't it? And that's what he did with this gentleman. That's what he did with this gentleman in the book of Mark. From verse 51, did you all turn there yet? I'm sorry if I didn't tell you to. Mark chapter 10, 51. This guy had thrown aside his cloak and he jumped up and he came running to Jesus and he answered him. And Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" I think this is so amazing. Here the world is telling us what to do, and Jesus asks us what to do. The world's telling you what to do, and Jesus says, "What do you want me to do?" Do you see the contrast of God's world and our world? They're 180 degrees apart. God doesn't tell us what to do. God asks the question, "What do you want from me? What do you want from me?" Because he can give us whatever we're going to ask for. And believe me, he's going to give us all what we've asked for, because if we don't want him, he will give us not him for eternity. But if we want him, he'll give us himself for all of eternity. Can I get an amen? Amen. Understand the question. To me, that's the whole point of this. We need to understand the question. God doesn't want to tell us what to do. God wants us to ask him what to do. He wants us to open up ourselves and say, "Lord, I'm blind. Give me sight." And it's so amazing, because without sight, you can't see. There's no direction. You can't find your way to the center. And it's so amazing, because Jesus says to him, he says, "What can I do for you?" And the blind man says to him, "Rabboni, I want to regain my sight." Oh, there's a revelation in that word, regain. Because we once were. In the beginning, we were the image of God, and we could see God, and we could be with God. And we need to regain that which was. Do you understand God's word? He doesn't mince words here. He's telling us a truth. He's telling us a reality. That we can regain something that we gave away, that we threw away, that we no longer have. But we have to come in one very specific way to one very specific individual. Jesus, who is the Christ, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. Can I get an amen and a praise God? Whew. I don't know about you, but I think this preacher's preaching. And answering the man, "What do you want me to do for you?" He says, "I want to see again, Lord." And Jesus said to him, "Go, for your faith has made you well." And immediately he regained his sight and began following him from that day. I want you to think about this. All of a sudden, he had direction. He was on course. He knew his center, and he could stay there. He could follow where God was leading him. And he didn't get out in front of God, did he? What's it say? And he what? You know, on my GPS, there's this little truck that drives around. Okay? I can't get in front of it. I can't get behind it. I can't get beside it. It's right there. And I just follow this little sucker all over the place. That's the way my spiritual life needs to be. That my center is God, and I'm right there where he is. Because where he is, there I shall be also. I think that's one of God's promises. That where I am, you also will be. May we realize that's what he's talking about today. We don't have to be where the world has said we are. We don't have to be the culmination of our bad choices and our circumstances. We can be something better. We can be somewhere else. We can be at the heart of God. We simply have to have the desire to do it and to be it, to call upon the name of the Lord. Because I don't know about you, but my God does not create any junk. I've made junk out of what he's created, but he can turn. I'm telling you right now, this is just some of the strangest stuff. I have been in places where these statues have been erected, and it looks like, and somebody paid $500,000 for it. I want you to think about that. I want you to think, that's your life. That. But in God's eyes, he can take that and he can turn that into something so beautiful that at the end of time, when the final judgment comes, those who are perishing will look upon it and say, but I knew him. Look at that mess. And Jesus is going to hold it and say, yeah, it's mine. And isn't it beautiful? Because of one choice, to choose him, to make him our center, and to know that all my stuff, because it's still there. How about yours? Is it still there? Every time I look in the rearview mirror, it's there. It doesn't go anywhere. But you see, God doesn't remember it for what it was. He remembers it for where he wants us to be. And he gets us there. My God has created no junk. Your God has created you. You're not junk. None of us here are junk. In Christ Jesus, we are the envy of the universe. Nothing in all creation is more precious to God than the soul of one saint who'll choose his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Will you say amen?
Amen.
May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord give you hope and peace. May his joy be full and complete in your lives. And may you know that in Christ Jesus, you are his masterpiece. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.